Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson.
Nobody laced my cog, Jess. Why don't you just give me back the mic and let me speak?
I want to be, gosh, what was his name? Ludwig. Ludwig. He was literally wearing lederhosen.
Because it's like the show is like, okay, you want to be Swedish, you want to be German, then wear the cultural attire that you would find in Epcot.
That's it. You can't wear any jeans.
Anything else. Like, you have to, like, go to Epcot, get their costume.
I was literally expecting him to drink out of, like, a freaking boot glass at one point.
Yeah, it's, like, stereotypical to the max. Like, has to be that way or no other way.
No one will understand that he's German unless we put him in lederhosen.
not the accent the name.
I'm going to talk to my father at the embassy.
Yeah, nobody would know. Yeah. Who's going to know? Nobody will know.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah,
we're here. I know. We're chatting Boy Meets World as usual. It's a Monday for us. It's a Thursday for you all, if you're listening on the day this releases. It was a Monday, but that's okay. It's chilly out today, honestly.
It was kind of chilly. Yeah, I'm wearing a sweater. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing my Biden Harris sweatshirt that looks like the Barbie logo that took like a month and a half to get.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was elected by the time you got it.
Well, no, I ordered it the day he got elected.
Oh, I thought you had ordered. Oh, it was.
I ordered it on the 6th, and I think I didn't get it until like December, like late December.
Ridiculous. Yeah, he was like practically inaugurated by the time you got it.
Yeah, so I had it by the time he was inaugurated. But whatever.
Our kitchen is finally done, but the drama saga of the refrigerator will literally never end. It's ongoing. Yeah. For those, did I ever talk about this on the podcast? I honestly do not remember.
You did not talk about the door situation.
It's just like literally never ending. We renovated our kitchen. First, we ordered a fridge from Lowe's, which they didn't tell us was on back order until the day it was supposed to be delivered. So we canceled with them, and then we ordered one from Home Depot, and then it arrived. And we went to switch the side the handle goes on, and it was all dented. So now we have to wait for somebody to come replace the door. And then my parents, so it's on my dad. My dad's a contractor. He has a Lowe's credit card. And they said, oh, by the way, the charge was never reversed on the original fridge we bought from Lowe's. Had to call Lowe's. They were eyes on hold for like 40 minutes.
Oh, no.
Trying to get them to cancel the order. What a nightmare. It's still going on.
Daddy Sterling was probably not happy about that.
No, he was not pleased. But he was happier when I wrote him for a check for all the other stuff he bought for the renovation.
Ooh.
So we're done, baby. We have a new kitchen. So it's exciting.
It's exciting, yeah.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. We, so like a couple, like a month or so ago, we got a new bed, as you might remember. And it came damaged, which was fine. But the only thing that's damaged is the footboard. So Drew, like, finally got them to come. And then they're supposedly coming on Wednesday. We'll see about that. But the stupid thing is, it's like, all you have to do is, like, change out one part. Like, one piece. And they're like, yeah, we're going to, like, give like a whole new bed.
That's why? Is always their solution. Yes, like when I first called about the fridge door, they were like, oh, can we give you $200? And I was like, no, there are giant dents in my fridge door. I would like a new fridge door. And then they're like, okay, well, we have to have someone come out and look at it. And I'm like, I sent you photos, like it's literal dents, like I don't, they're not going to be able to pop those out, at least I don't think so. But if they're like, oh, well, another door will take probably 8 to 10 weeks, and I'm just like, what?
So then, but like a new refrigerator will take less time.
Exactly. Because it keeps, doesn't make sense. It's just a door. But it's fine because at least we have a working refrigerator. But yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's like they always want to replace the whole thing. And it's like, I don't need the whole thing.
Because if anybody is in like customer service and can like reason, I don't need the whole thing. I just need the footboard replaced.
Because
one
piece.
Because
it's more annoying in this situation. It's more annoying if they send you the whole thing again. Because it's like, well, I already assembled the damn thing. Or I already like
the bed's
shoved it into
already
where it
assembled.
Needs to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big old pain in the ass. So anybody annoying. Who has anything, who's ever bought anything, honestly, could probably relate to these stories. Because it's.
I mean, or like all of our like young and fresh listeners are not understanding because their parents still make their like doctor's appointments.
Do we really have listeners that young?
I don't know. And they're like, just be like, oh, this is like old elder millennial shit.
Maybe. This is how you know you're old.
Yeah. I mean, when the shoe fits.
When you have like 70 plants that you have to take care of.
Hey, that's a personal attack.
It's not me.
A direct hit, ma'am.
So anyway,
a level of disrespect.
Let's shift gears into something better than that. Let's into the positive. I'm drinking today, as per the usual, my 90s nightcap. I bought these at the liquor store because they sounded delicious. They're all right. It's a it's Swedish hard cider. If anybody recognizes the brand name of Rekorderlig. I'm drinking.
So it's wearing nothing because all Swedes are nudists.
Yes, exactly. 100%. And it is a strawberry lime hard cider.
That looks good.
It's gluten free and vegan friendly. So if you're.
Wow.
That's for you.
It looks pretty good.
It's good, but like, it's just, to me, it's like a little bit too strong. It's a little bit like too sweet. Like there's like a bit too much flavor in it. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like it tastes like. Too fake flavored.
All right. Well, I mean, not a sounding endorsement, but maybe I'll check it out nonetheless.
It's one of those ones that you can only have like one or two of because it's just like too much. But
right. Anyway. Yeah. I'm sticking with our sponsor, Poland Spring, today. Just some H2O no. I just didn't feel like going into the basement and grabbing something. I don't
That's
know.
Fair.
Just wasn't in the mood.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be fresh and clean today.
Yeah, and if Poland's
I had
like
my salad. Had my salad for lunch.
And you're killing it today.
Having a chicken salad for dinner, which is relatively healthy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be, I mean, never mind my brownie bite that I had. Forget about that. But we're just being healthy queens.
We're ignoring that and the rest is good. That's what they say. You can ignore one of your snacks a day. That's what I hear.
Really?
I don't know.
Is that
no one said that? Nobody does.
Okay.
I just made it up. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
We're here talking season 2, episodes 16 and 17 of Boy Meets World today. The first one, Danger Boy. I remembered this. Famous gif of from this episode.
I was finally able to use it. Yes. I've been waiting.
Yes, that classic Feeny and Corey
in the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, been waiting for this for 10 months.
Yeah, it's been 8 months.
No,
8 months.
Less than that.
I counted today.
Seven months.
We're at almost eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. No, I agree. Like, I feel like this episode was definitely, like, Feeny is, like, the breakout star of this episode.
Feeny was great. Like, yeah, this is, like, if people were complaining, like, we don't, like, give Feeny enough cred, I feel like, you know, this was a great episode for the Feen. Mm-hmm. This was a Feen-centric episode.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, like, other than that, like, this one to me, like, that's an iconic moment. But, like, it doesn't exactly, this episode doesn't really move anything forward. It's not like that's a funny mm-hmm. moment, but like yeah. does this really move the needle on any like character growth? Not really.
No. But I think that it is probably one of the more iconic moments from Boy Meets World. It probably makes the top 20.
Okay. I'd have to write them down and see. I could kind of see that. That one scene exactly. Yeah.
One scene and like the you know the image of them like they're like all shocked and like you know bags. Dazed
yeah
so that particular image is an iconic Boy Meets World moment. Mm-hmm. Feeny and Corey on the roller coaster together.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're
it's
right.
Yeah, it's early in the series. Funnily enough, Drew thought that was a season one thing, and I think I thought it was a season one thing as well, last season. But no, it's season two, towards the end of season two. We're now at, like, the later half of season mm-hmm. two.
Yeah, we're moving towards the end of season two. Yeah. I think that, like, I don't know, we could get into it at this point. Like, to me, that moment is very iconic, but the rest of the episode is, like, fairly forgettable. Like, what leads up to that moment, I didn't really remember, like, why they were on mm-hmm. the roller coaster, just that they were. But yeah. like we start off with Eric just like making out with a girl. She can't hang out that weekend because she's babysitting like her niece or something, or not her niece. Oh my gosh, her like cousin.
Her cousin. And, her cousin from Manhattan.
That's right. She's
who is very mature. Yes. Yeah, very sophisticated, so very mature.
So she's like, oh, you have a younger brother? Oh, that's 13. Okay, great. We can connect them. And then, of course, Corey comes out. Look at me. I'm a fountain.
Not the best move. Kim, which is Eric's date's name, mm-hmm. was not impressed by that. But Sean comes down and he's all suave, like normal. Mm-hmm. And like he's like, I'm just checking out. I heard that there was like a very beautiful girl down
here.
He's
so complimentary, which you know that's partly the reason that she's like, let's go with him instead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, she was showing interest before he said that, but that totally sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the girl, Kim, wants to double date with Sean. And, I mean, in Eric's defense, he did say no multiple times
yeah.
to Kim about, like, I don't feel right about this. Mm-hmm. I would rather take Corey. Like, Corey is my brother. Like, this doesn't feel right. And he said no, like, two or three times. But ultimately, like, one steamy kiss and then that's it.
Yeah. I think that, like, it didn't take too much to persuade Eric to like change his mm-hmm. mind. Honestly, I was shocked that he even like thought of Corey in the first place, because we've seen in the past like he's, you know, he gets on Corey's case a lot.
He does.
But yeah, ultimately he agrees to go with Sean instead. And then we see Eric telling Sean about the date, and Sean being a good friend, he's like, oh, I thought Corey didn't want to go. And Eric definitely implies that like he already asked Corey and Corey wasn't interested.
Oh yeah.
Which I feel should set off some like sus meters on Sean of like, why would Corey be uninterested in a date that he gets set up on?
Yeah, but Sean's a simpleton.
Yeah. Sean doesn't care.
Yeah. But, you know, Eric persuades him because he's paying and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, as long as he's paying, that's all Sean needs to hear. He's like, he doesn't even care what the girl yeah. looks like. He's like, he's in. No, nothing about yeah. her. He doesn't need to know anything about her. He's ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, do you realize there's like literally three storylines in this episode? It's like popping off in this one.
You're right. There are three separate storylines. Wow. I wonder if we're in the territory of there actually being separate storylines for different characters.
I know, it's pretty neato. So do you want to just continue with Corey and Sean?
Yeah, let's
storyline. Why not? And circle back around. All right. So.
Oh yeah, we're Chubbies.
Corey goes to Chubbies because now every day we go to Chubbies.
Yes, but Chubby is not the same guy. Chubby has changed.
Are you sure? Did he just like shave?
No, it's a different guy. It's a different actor.
A different guy.
Yeah, and he's a lot nicer too. Like he actually has a conversation with Corey.
Yeah, maybe this is like a cousin of Chubby or a brother of Chubby.
Maybe Chubby's their last name, Chubbies. And there's all different Chubbies.
Yeah, Bob Ronaldo Chubby, Bob Chubby, like Frank Doug Chubby. Yeah, I think so. I think we got
This Mr. Chubby is really nice.
Nicer. He's like, hey, like, where's your friend?
Yeah,
like Patsy, you're flying solo.
Patsy. Yeah, Patsy or something like that. Shonzi. I don't know.
No, it was simply Patsy.
Yeah.
And he was Corey's curly.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Corey's looking for Sean, and then Sean ends up being there anyway. And Corey's like, goes over to see who Sean's date is, and it's Eric. As he's sitting across.
Yeah, he's like, that looks a lot like my brother.
Yeah, and this is when Corey finds out that Eric didn't ask him to go on the date with him, and he's really upset. And I mean, I understand why. Like, Eric's trying to brush it off and like act like it's not a big deal, but. I mean, that must feel like shit to be like, wow, my own family thinks I'm like not as cool as Sean. So.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like, I thought it was like cool of Corey to be like, I demand to know like what's actually going on here instead of just being like, oh, like, I guess I'll leave.
Yeah. And it was awkward when the girls walk in.
Oh, yeah. The girls come. We get a young Mina Suvari. So,
I didn't recognize her.
So Mina Suvari is from American Pie other stuff.
Yes.
This is actually her first acting role is Boy Meets World. So here she is. She's in another episode later on, but plays a different character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't do that nowadays. I feel like back in the day that happened a lot more frequently on television shows.
Yeah, just like switch.
We're just going to pretend we never saw her. Yeah.
Like, people in SVU, they play, like, 10 different characters.
Oh, yeah. And it's, like, it's really crazy. You couldn't find other people in Hollywood to, like, come play this role?
Well, I mean, everybody gets a role in SVU if you're in Hollywood or Hollywood adjacent.
Yeah, because that show's been on for, like, freaking 20 years.
yeah. So, Mina Suvari is like, oh, like, are you the little boy who spits water for attention?
I mean, yeah, true.
She's like, why do you do that?
Guilty as charged.
So once again, like, what other, as per our astrology pod, like, what other sign would spit water for attention? Hey, look at me. Look what I can do.
100%.
Look at my trick.
That is definitely something that a Leo would do.
Mm-hmm. But then his little, like, his little, like, sensitive side is like, I'm fine. I'm just going to leave. Thanks for remembering my name, Eric.
Yeah. So he jets out of there. And then we flash to Corey, like, their room later. And Eric's trying to come in and, like, make light of the situation. He swears that he pushed hard for Corey, like, right up until you came out and were a freaking fountain. And, like, Corey realizes, it's nice that Corey doesn't, like, push back too hard against it. Like, he realizes, like, wow, that probably did look really bad.
Yeah. He was like, was it the fountain? And, like, Eric was like, yeah, I couldn't do much after that, dude.
Yep. And so he realizes, like, oh, you know, Eric says, Kim wanted cool and dangerous. And on a dangerous scale, Eric says, Corey is less dangerous than lime jello.
I gotta be honest with you, all this Jell-O talk really made me, like, crave lime Jell-O.
Really?
And lime Jell-O is a top-tier Jell-O
flavor. Oh, I disagree. I would never choose lime.
What would you do? Are you gonna say cherry or strawberry?
I really never crave Jell-O, but if I was going to eat a Jell-O, I probably would choose, like, whatever the red flavor is, whether it's, like, cherry,
basic,
strawberry, or grape.
Basic.
I would choose grape.
Yeah, nobody really gets grape
Jell-O. I used to like orange a lot up until I had my wisdom teeth removed. And I ate a lot of Jell-O and I ate a lot of orange Jell-O. And then the pills that I was taking made me very ill. And it just very, it like turned my stomach against ever eating it again. You know what I mean? Right. You just have like one bad experience.
Yeah. I actually have a recipe for key lime pie with lime jello. It's like not really key lime pie. It's like a faux key lime pie. Mm-hmm. It's like a Weight Watchers like key lime pie.
Yeah.
With lime jello. It's pretty good. It's pretty refreshing.
Will has like this strawberry pie recipe that involves strawberry jello and like you put strawberries in it. And actually it looks weird. Like it looks like one of those like, oh, my great aunt brought this to a party and nobody eats it. But it's actually really good. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. That's what the key lime pie is too.
Yeah, I feel like whenever you see fruit floating in jello, you're kind of just like, I don't know if I want to eat that. But it's really tasty.
I do want jello. Now, so yeah, so you know, Corey says that he is dangerous and out of control, but really he knows that he is just Jell-O.
Yeah, he is Jell-O. Morgan comes in and says her bear had a bad dream and asks if he can sleep, if the bear can sleep with Corey where it's safe.
Yeah.
So, Aww. Yeah, cute.
It was cute. So this is kind of where our stories intertwine between the Feeny.
Yeah, so let's back up and talk about Feeny because
the Feeny.
We got to lead up to this point. Basically, the Feeny. They're picking clubs. The teachers are picking different clubs to basically be like the chaperones of. And some lady teacher, I don't know her name, I don't remember it. Is like, oh, Turner, you can ski the slopes, can't you, you horn dog? She's like all about Turner's saucy. D. Like, literally, she's just like.
Very saucy.
She practically gave him a lap dance in the middle of the cafeteria.
Feeny wants a ski club. Funnily enough, obviously, we see Feeny chaperoning the ski club at the senior ski trip in the future. So eventually he gets this role.
And we know he was like the scuba club guy too.
Yes. So yeah, on the board it said scuba club and like I guess somebody else took scuba club.
I just don't get scuba not adventurous enough for you? Like he feels like people assume he's going to lead the chess club. Like that's because you probably have always led it, Feeny. Like why would people think you'd be wanting to go on the ski trip when you've always done chess club?
No, he's done scuba duba.
I know, but like he gets all pissed off that people assume he wants chess club. It's like, well, you've probably volunteered for it in the past, Feeny.
Right. True. So he's like, what is it, like my sweater vest? Is it the way I talk? Like, you know, like what is making you assume that I am the like ski, you know, the chess club master?
Right. And props to Turner because Turner is really like, if you want ski club, like you can have ski club. He even like has like a vest for him and everything. Like, I feel like Turner really tries to make him feel better.
Yeah, Turner's like, you know, he feels bad because he doesn't like assuming either. So he doesn't like it when people make assumptions about him, about who he is. So he's like, you know, if you want it, like, I got you this nice, like, vest. Like, why don't you come with? And, like, Feeny's being, like, very, very, like, you know, he's being a little bit of a sourpuss.
He wants to be in his feels. Like, he just wants to, he's, like, doing that Pisces thing where he wants to feel his feels and he doesn't want people to make him.
Being a grump.
Yeah, he is. He's being grumpy about it. And this is where our stories kind of interconnect because Corey's all pissed that, well, I like this, too. I like the interaction between Sean and Corey where Sean is, like, really apologetic for going on the double date and Corey's like, I'm not mad at you. Like, you had no idea that, like, Eric didn't already ask me. And basically Corey's like, I'm not mad at anybody. Everyone did exactly what they're supposed to do. He calls himself a Candyland loser.
Yeah, he's a Candyland loser.
They even lose Candyland. Candyland is the easiest fucking game. It's all just luck. I guess that's how we lost.
Yeah, but, I mean, anybody can lose any
Candyland
game
sucks.
Because there has to be a winner.
Candyland is trash.
I'm not going to stand on a podium and, like, root for Candyland. I have no cares in the world about Candyland.
I mean, as far as children's games are concerned, it's probably one of the worst. Cause it's
I've never thought about Candyland for more than a minute in my life. Like, I don't care
about Candyland. I had do you remember those VHS games when we were kids where you had, you don't remember those? There was, like, a board game and then it coincided with a VHS that you would watch. And, like, play along with. And I had one for Candyland. And I remember it. Yeah, it was really cool.
Talking about VHS, this is, like, such a weird story. But apparently there was a warrant out on this woman for her arrest for never returning a VHS tape for like 20 years. And she wound up like trying to move states or something. And she like got arrested for this videotape and charged with like fraud.
And the, what? From like a rental place that she didn't bring it back? How is that like a fraud charge?
I don't know. But the charges were dropped because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, because who the fuck wants a VHS now?
But like, yeah, like she never returned her VHS tape. That's some news that I saw come up today.
Well, return those overdue library books, folks, because you don't want to get fucking arrested. Yeah, no, that's
exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking about that library book that Oliver chewed up and I stole.
Well, watch out if you try to move states because you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, I thought about that too. So yeah, Feeney is teaching about the European sneaker war. And so.
Isn't he talking about Harry Truman?
Well, I perhaps, but Sean was like, yeah, this like second war thing like. So that's why I was thinking like, oh, it's the European sneaker war. Like Feeney said that they're going to get to it eventually. And I guess the time has come.
Oh, see, this was a big flashback and I did not remember that whole conversation, but now I do. But actually, that kind of relates to this episode because, like, we see Feeney and Corey connect again. And I feel like they have not connected like this since,
since that episode.
That was season one. That was, like, very early on. Yeah. And
that was a mid-season one episode, I think. Yeah. Oh, no. Father Knows Less. And I think that was maybe in episode five or something.
It was early on. And I feel like Corey and Feeney haven't had this like connection since that moment. And Feeney relates to Corey because people see him as like stodgy and conservative. And people see Corey as like safe and not like a fun option. And so both Corey and Feeney want to show people that they're not what people say they are. And Corey says, let's do something stupid. And I really like, on one hand, obviously, I feel like the Father Knows Less moment between Feeney and Corey. For those who don't remember, it's when Corey visits Feeney outside and Feeney's like looking at the stars or whatever. He's reading outside or something. And they get in this whole deep discussion about, you know, what Feeney thinks is right versus what Alan thinks is right, because Alan had kept Corey up to watch a baseball game and Corey fell asleep in class. And I felt like obviously that was a more serious conversation in season one. And this one is much more lighthearted in that, like, everyone sees this as boring. Let's go do something crazy. And I really like seeing Feeney kind of go outside of his comfort zone and be a little bit more wacky, because we don't get that often.
Me too. Me too. Actually, it was episode three.
Oh my gosh, it was so early on.
So early.
We were way
so
overdue
early
for like a Corey Feeney like moment. Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is the last episode, I Dream of Feeney, where they visit.
Oh yeah.
Where he visits Feeney in the hospital.
But I still feel like that wasn't as significant as.
Yeah, I could agree with you. Yeah.
I guess he did like thank him for teaching him and everything.
Yeah. He thanked him for being a good teacher.
But
it was a nice moment. But so, yeah, we haven't seen Feeney, like, be silly like this or, like, you know, I like this. This is, like, fun Feeney. Like, this is, like, what I want to see more of from Feeney is, like, having a good old time, not being, like, the stickler all the time. Like, I know, like, he's there to be, like, the straight guy, like, to be a stickler and, like, everyone else is crazy and funny and he's the one that's, like, we got to study and be in school. Yeah. But like,
on one hand, it's like we got the really fun Turner-Feeney relationship this season, which I really love.
That has been fun.
But I do think that like we used to get a lot more of like Feeney having really funny like one-liner quips towards like Sean and Corey. And I think those have kind of switched more to like Turner.
More
now
towards Turner.
And so we miss out on those moments. And all we get to see of Feeney is him being like a stick in the mud, like traditional teacher who doesn't appreciate Turner's like progressive ways of teaching, which isn't as fun to see.
So, yeah, he says that, you know, we have to like leave ourselves open to new experiences, blah, 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 blah. So then they decide to go to The adventure park. Right. So Corey leaves a note for Eric saying that he's like going to do something crazy and wild. He's going to the amusement park with Mr. Feeny. Yes, you heard that right, Mr. Feeny.
I loved that. That was funny.
So they're at this like adventure park and they're about to go on this new roller coaster called The Last Ride. And it's like this crazy, dangerous roller coaster where you have to sign a waiver.
Yeah, a catastrophe waiver, which I'm just going to let you all know. I work in insurance and this is complete bullshit. Like if somebody like legitimately got injured on this ride or killed on this ride, 100% their families are suing the park and would get money. Waivers, like this isn't always the case, but most times waivers are just meant to discourage people from like suing. And usually they actually don't hold up in court at all. So just an FYI if you ever end up signing a waiver. It's really just to like make you think that you wouldn't get any money.
Hold on. So if I get very burnt from McDonald's coffee, even though the cup says it's extremely hot, can I still sue about being burnt over McDonald's coffee?
You could certainly try to. That's not necessarily a waiver. That's them like letting you know. But that whole thing, that woman got legitimately like burnt to a crisp. Like it wasn't like she wasn't exaggerating.
It wasn't like a little burn.
No, it was like yeesh.
Did she like spill it on her lap and her legs were all fucked? I think that's what
it was. Yeah, and it was like third degree burns.
It had to take skin from her ass.
Exactly. Yeah. Had to take skin from her ass. But then the problem is it's like, oh, my lap hurts. And then they take skin from your ass. And you're like, oh, I can't sit on my ass.
And then my butt hurts. I know. That was my first thought when I went to the derm. And they said, like, I had to take skin from, like, probably my butt to, like, if I wanted to remove something on my face.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I would just be a butt face.
Yeah, my freaking ass would be on my face.
Do I really want to be a butt face? Is it worth it?
Yeah. I mean, I probably have plenty not. Of like skin. I have plenty of ass for them to take from. So might as well of all the places.
No.
But
so.
Yeah. Remember? So do you remember that line? That whole thing from Sex and the City where I think it was Samantha got like fat from her ass put into her face to make herself look younger. Do you remember? You don't remember that? They like.
I don't.
They took stuff out of her butt and put it in her face.
I love Sex and the City. That is
doesn't hold up as well as you
I know.
Think.
Well, so I've heard.
It's really not great. It's yeah,
a little sad.
But, yeah, still iconic in its own right.
Yeah, I'm still. Guess who's my favorite character? Well, yeah, but still.
Wait, what?
Okay, hold on. Sorry. That was like I thought a lot of things at the same time.
You didn't say any. Guess who's my favorite character? Well, wait. Never mind.
No, so like Carrie is my favorite character because I always love picking the main character.
Oh my god, and everything. Every time.
Which actually I think I have like a hot take for when you eventually ask me to come on Community Building. And it's gonna piss you off so badly, but it's gonna be a good podcast.
If you say you
moment.
Don't like Annie, I will jealously murder you.
No, that's not what I was gonna say. Okay.
Like Jeff Winger is like my favorite, even though I'm gonna murder you. He's the worst. Anyway, yes. So they both sign this, or like Feeny's like, do whatever you want with my body.
And oh, wait, hold on. Isn't it like, so hold on. Yeah, okay, because I cannot think of the American name for Feeny holding that weird thing, the candy floss. I can't think of the American floss? Name. What's its name? Candy floss.
It's cotton candy.
Cotton candy. I couldn't candy think floss. Of it. Candy floss. That's what the Brits call it.
They call it candy floss?
They do.
I mean, it does kind of and look like floss, I guess.
I couldn't think of like the right name for it. I kept also, thinking candy like floss. Candy floss.
Cotton candy is fucking trash.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
It's just sugar.
But especially that cotton candy. It did not look legit.
Mm-hmm. It was like too like... It looked like styrofoam. Hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so Turner and not, Eric.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, so they signed. No, or like, Feeny's okay with organ donation.
Yes.
Yes. Then Eric and Turner come.
Yes, and they try to get them, like, to stop, and they're like, oh, okay, great, let's get out. And then, of course, the ride takes off anyway. And the car comes back around. This cart comes back around. And so we start off with Feeny in the back and Corey in the front. And then when they return, Feeny's in the front and Corey's in the back. And
where's the physics to this?
First of all, it doesn't make any sense because they would have legitimately like died. That like I don't know how that even happens that you'd swap. And yeah. I love Feeny's line of, I fell forward out of the car. Like the way he says car, out of the car.
Yeah, so I guess like, and we get these like really like bogus effects of like them riding the roller coaster. Like this thing has fire. Oh my God. It has, it's like,
it's, but they don't show any of it because it's like low budget.
Low budge. It's very low budge. Mm-hmm. So, right. So they switch. We don't know the logistics of how this happened. We don't know how they survived this. But ultimately, they're like, Turner and Eric are like, we were wrong. You guys are like cool and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you're so brave. I like Corey's line of piece of cake. And they're like, what? And he was like, I threw up a piece of cake.
So disgusting. Yeah. And then after that, he's like, oh, I left my shoe in the car. I'm like, as if anybody's going to want to go find that amongst your vomit in the bottom of the car.
And well, they had barf bags.
I know. But how do you even get a barf bag out and like, I don't know, when you're in the middle of a roller coaster? And
I really don't know.
And this is how, and this is also bullshit because Feeny and Corey basically trick Turner and Eric into like getting into the cart, mm-hmm, and strapping them in. First of all, right, they budged that entire line. And those people must have been pissed. Second of all, they didn't sign these waivers, these catastrophe, nope, waivers. Mm-mm. Meanwhile, I think it's, is it Feeny that hits it and he's like, light it up or whatever. I don't know what he says, but, mm-hmm, light that candle. Is that what it says?
Yeah, something like, yeah, light the candle.
Not a candle.
What?
And so then they end, like, up having Feeny, to go,
why do you have to be from 1500s? Like, come on, dude.
That's just what Feeny does.
So yeah, they go, they got tricked, they got duped. Yeah. And then like, what's his face? Sean, no, no, not Sean. And then Feeny and Corey high five.
Yeah, and that was cute. That was cute. I liked this moment for Feeny and Corey. Like I said, like we'll go into that Amy and Alan storyline next. But I will, mm-hmm, say that like I thought the most of the episode I was like, meh, it's fine. But I really liked the Feeny Corey stuff at the end. So that kind of made it, yeah, worth it.
Yeah, I liked it too. So going back a little, we have a like a third a C story, mm-hmm, C story with Amy and Alan. Amy spent $130 on her haircut, which makes Alan mad because. Am I for?
No, I was just gonna say that it's $225 nowadays.
Oh, you did the math. I did the math. $225. That's about how much actually I pay for my haircut and color.
All I will say is, because here's the, mm-hmm, thing. She said she got her hair done. She got a weave, which where? Like her hair looks no different than last episode.
So you're pulling an Alan and saying that it looks like
it
the
looks
same.
No. Here's the thing. If you're, I think like $225 is astronomical unless you are getting a cut, a color. Like, you have to get a significant amount done to your hair, in my opinion, to pay that much. If you're paying $225 and your hair looks legitimately exactly the same as it did before you left, girl, what is you doing? Like, it does not look any different to me. I would like the listeners to tell me if $225 is too much, if they think it's too much. I think it's too much. That's a lot.
Yeah. So let's think about it this way. Say it's a weave for volume, not for length, obviously. So she has extensions in for volume.
Okay.
To get that nice 90s volume. Say it's human hair. So you buy the human hair and then you have the person install it and then you have to cut and style, yeah, it.
I don't
think it's that crazy.
No, I could see it. But like, that much. Amy doesn't seem like the type to be getting like a weave.
Well, she has this fancy gallery job now. She's a changed woman.
I guess. I just feel like, and it is a lot of money. Like, keep in mind, I go to like a special hairstylist that like specializes in curly hair. I only get my hair cut like once every 6 months. I don't do any color, anything like that. I don't pay anywhere near the amount that Amy does. But
how much? How much?
I want to say around like 100 or so. But it's 100 every 6 months. So I
get recently, because I switched up in the last year, I get balayage. Mm-hmm. So I actually get a half head of balayage, not even a full head of balayage, plus a cup, plus like the thing, the chop chops. Mm-hmm. When I already said the chop chops, the blow dry. And I think it's around 225,
and how 250. Often is that? How often do you have to go?
Every 3 to 4 months.
See, that's still not even bad. Because, like, the way I look at it, right, like, a guy who has short hair probably gets their haircut, like, once a month and probably spends, mm-hmm. like, $20. So if you think about once a month, $20, it's like, well, okay, well, then if I only go every 6 months, then that's about right for how much I pay for mine.
Okay. Yeah, so, that makes sense.
I don't disagree with Alan, but I also think, in my opinion, you shouldn't be getting on her case at all. If she wants to spend $130 on her hair, to me, that's mm-hmm. not an amount of money where there has to be a conversation before, like, your partner spends it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. What happens if it's Amy's money? I mean, I guess, like, oh, they're probably share money. They're probably a modern, like, they probably share money.
I assume so. Do. But you're right. If it is Amy's money, then he really has no fucking business. Right. But to me, it sounds like they share money based on, like, stuff that happens later.
And then Alan has the audacity to be like, go back to Rodique and ask for your money back. Like, in what reality would that work?
Never would happen, Alan. Like, I don't know about you, but that's not how services are rendered.
No, that is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
So Alan leaves for his poker game. Mm-hmm. And then when he comes back the next morning, he apparently got in late, and then he admits that he lost $300 playing poker.
Yes.
And he's, like, trying to, like, make up to Amy and, like, suck up to her, like, oh, your hair does look so different. I'm so sorry. Yes. But
this would be $521.
That's a lot. I would be mad.
I would be furious.
I would be mad if my significant other came home and lost that much money from, like, a bro poker game.
And also, in my opinion, at least Amy got something out of the money she spent. You're getting mm-hmm. nothing out of losing $300 in a poker game. Like, what are you getting?
You lost your money and you lost your dignity.
Exactly. So. And someone made chicken noises at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he felt bullied into this. Mm-hmm. And to make it even worse, Alan didn't tell Amy. Alan's friend Gordy called and asked Amy if they were on speaking terms. So he outed Gordy's dick. Alan. Yeah.
Did you also notice that Alan calls Amy Puddin?
Yeah, I did. Puddin.
I love that.
Desiree's legacy lives on.
Forever and ever. Amen. Yeah.
So then Amy's like, you know, so she's like, well, you know, why don't you go ask for your buddies to
this
get
seems more
the
realistic
money back.
Though, because it's your friends and it's a friendly game of poker. But I'm also not someone who, like, gambles with my friends, so I don't really know.
And then he was like, no way. Well, actually, we do have a $20 bet going on.
Fair, but that's $20. That's not $300. And we're not playing poker.
Well, I wanted it to be $50.
Yeah, and I said don't bet that much money.
You whittled me down from $50 to $20. Exactly. It was bullshit. We don't need. She doesn't like to bet.
You're not allowed to say what the bet is, though, because that could affect the outcome of the bet. Everyone's going to be wondering, what's the bet?
Eventually, we'll tell you guys about the bet.
Eventually, you'll find out.
I try to get $50 mm-hmm. on this wager. She said no. She does not like to gamble.
I'm not a gambler, people.
No. So she whittled me down to 20. Yes. But yeah, so this interaction was kind of cute. She was, because they teased each other. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, what'd you get out of the situation? And he's like, a shirt that smells like, she's like, a shirt that smells like smoke. And he's like, well, you got, like, a hair that looks exactly the same as it did before.
I mean,
I thought this was funny.
Fair points on both ends.
fair points.
But
so now we're at the end of the episode, the after commercial scene.
Yes.
We have a poker game rematch. Rodique came over, Amy's hairstylist, to try to win money. He's pretending like he's a newbie. Obviously, he knows how to play.
I love
he's playing
the magenta
stupid.
Or the blueberry.
Yeah, Alan's really over Rodique. Yes. Rodique even does the chicken noises. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't mention this before, but we got like a fake Elvis in this episode too. And he even comes back.
It was like, again, I just felt like they were just throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck. Like, oh, we don't know what to do with this episode. Throw in a fucking fake Elvis. Have him walk in. Literally everybody will walk into the Matthews residence at any point in time. Even next episode, fucking Robin Leach is around. Throw him in. Elvis Presley.
Open door policy at the Matthews residence.
Yeah. Oh, Harley, throw him in. He's allowed. It's like every person is coming to the Matthews residence to visit.
Yeah. Yeah, so Elvis lends Alan some muns.
Yes, he needs it.
I thought this was a fun episode. I liked it.
I think it's fine. I think that without the Corey Feeney interaction at the roller coaster, I think it's more of a meh episode without that memorable moment. I think it's very meh for me. Because I just felt like I like the Amy Allen argument with the trash compactor more than I liked this one. Like, it just kind of felt like thrown in last minute, I guess.
I enjoyed it. I think it's somehow a classic, but I can't really tell why it's a classic. But like I said before, like, even I was telling, like, Drew asked me what we were covering, and I was like, oh, like, we're covering the episode where Feeney and Corey go on the roller coaster, and it's like an episode that he remembers even though he's not like a huge fan.
Yeah.
So people remember it.
Yeah,
goodness,
I think it's because of that moment. Like, I think if you take out the roller coaster, I don't think people remember it, because that's just like the funniest moment.
That's like three quarters of the episode.
No, that's the very end.
Hey, Sarah, I know you've been really into reading lately, and you've gotten me into it as well.
Yeah, well, you know what? Book of the Month made it really easy, because Book of the Month offers just a few new selections every month, saving readers the hassle of figuring out what to read. One of the biggest deterrents for me is that, like, when I go to the library, there's like thousands and thousands of books, and I'm like, I don't even know what to pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. They focus on new and emerging authors, which means these are books that we probably wouldn't have found out about otherwise, which is super nice.
Yeah, and we also, I love having a really aesthetic bookshelf, and the books that we got, it was like beautiful, high quality hardcover books plus free shipping, which came really quickly.
Love free shipping. You and I both chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which is a thriller about a missing girl. And I really couldn't put it down. I think I read it in about a 48-hour time period. It had twists, it had turns, kept me guessing the entire way through up until the very last page.
So tell me what you liked about the book then.
It was really good, and I'm excited to dive into the other book that I have. But the great thing is, Sarah, is that listeners can sign up for Book of the Month to discover new emerging authors by going to bookofthemonth.com and using code PETALS for just $5.
Wow, what a deal. Check out Book of the Month Club for all of your reading needs.
Yeah, seriously. Every month you could get a new group of books that you just, you know, fall in love with. So go to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS for just $5 and enjoy reading.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Whatever. But yeah, the next episode is episode 19, On the Air.
No, it's not.
It's not On the Air?
It's not episode 19.
Oh, I meant to say 17. I literally looked 17. At the number 17 and I said 19. I think my brain is broken. I need to go to a hospital.
It's aired on February 10th, 1995.
You will always find a way to sneak in that mother effing air date every time.
What are you going to do?
As if I mistook episode 9, episode 17 for 1990.
1995.
We get the... This episode honestly kind of pissed me off, and I'll explain why.
Oh. Okay.
Because we start off, we're in a radio room, and Feeny and Alvin have a radio show. Mm-hmm. Why did we get rid of Minkus? If we're just going to bring in Alvin as this mini Minkus who's not even as good as Minkus, why did we get rid of Minkus?
It's true. It's like they regretted getting rid of Minkus.
You can tell that they regretted getting rid of Minkus. And here's the thing. Alvin is Minkus, but with no personality.
Oh, it's so true. That is so true.
And it pisses me off so much. Justice for Minkus. Alvin sucks. And not only that, but you think that Minkus would let Sean and Corey bully him into, like, hooking up the system?
Absolutely not.
Nuh-uh. No way.
No. It's kind of crazy because it's like, Alvin is in season two probably as much as Minkus is in season one. And I've never remembered Alvin in my existence.
No.
Never.
You could have shown me a lineup of people and I never would have picked
it. I wouldn't have remembered him. Didn't remember the name. And the fact that it's like, we all remember Minkus. We all love Minkus. And Alvin is such like really like in nearly every single episode. He's in more episodes in season two than Topanga is in season two.
Yeah.
So why did you get rid of Minkus? It's infuriating. What was the point?
It's honestly infuriating. I do.
Yeah. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Feeny's pissing everybody off because he's playing Michael Bolton and Perry Como.
Yeah. So, like, this is apparently, like, Patriot Radio hasn't been on air for 10 years. They, like, just set up the system again. I like Sean, like, trying to saw the wires with, like, a plastic spoon.
Yeah, they were so tired of listening to Feeny talk that they were trying to get rid of it. And I love Turner coming in being like, if you don't like it, why don't you guys do the radio show?
Yeah.
He's kind of comforted to regret that decision.
But, you know, he wants the boys to get involved in something that they're passionate in because he's a good teacher. So he convinces them to give it a go. Corey has to do a little bit of convincing to Sean, but he's like, it's really easy. All you have to do is talk. All you have to do is press a button, which is pretty much true.
Yeah. It's not really that much different than podcasting, except they're live, I guess.
It's truly not that different.
Yes. And like we said, Leo's love to talk. So sounds great for Corey.
So Corey says that he's a radio voice and Sean has a radio face.
Yes. Perfect.
Perfect combination. So Turner says that he'll talk to Feeny for them. Corey is excited. And then we go back home. And I don't know about what's going on with Eric this episode. I feel like the writers got the sillies in these two episodes.
No, what happened was they had Robin Leach on, like, the lot next door. And they're like, let's write a script that involves Robin Leach so that we can involve him.
Yeah.
We already know Eric's dumb. So, and also, like, did I miss the part where Eric quit the job at the grocery store? I know he quit and then he never got rehired. No, remember he had to get back as a bagger because, like, he was like a stalker or something. And then because he quit because he wanted to model, he got his job back, but he was going to be a bagger instead. But apparently now we completely dropped that storyline and he doesn't have a job at all. And he's still getting an allowance. You are like 16 years old. Get a fucking job.
Yeah, seriously. I know. He really does need a job. I bet he quit again. I don't know.
Something happened, and now he's, like, begging his parents for money because he spent it all on girls. And he's so stupid.
Blew it on babes, as Morgan said. Morgan got her one line per three episodes.
And am I mad about it? No, I'm not.
I mean, I think this is the most invisible we're going to see Morgan for the entire series, pretty much.
Yeah, because is it next season that they put her, it's the new girl?
The new girl. Yeah,
so that's fine. Whatever. Who cares? She's there. Yeah. She's around.
So, yeah, he says that he has no idea. Alan has no idea how much money it takes to take out a pretty girl, which offends Amy, but she's been wearing the same circus conductor vest for the last like 5 episodes, so yeah. Can you blame her?
Well, she's pissed because Eric didn't notice her fucking weave that she got in the last episode, so
weave. such a bizarre word too.
I know. It's like usually it's like extensions, not a whole, like, yeah. A weave to me is like goes on the top of your head, whole thing. Like,
so yeah, now Eric has signed up for, he sees like this like piece of mail and it's
junk mail. Like, you're a winner. It's like those pop-up ads, except in mail form.
Yeah. So like, I guess you sign up for magazines and then you're put into some sort of like system where you could get Robin Leach to come and give you a paycheck, and the more magazines you sign up for, the more entries you are entered into this contest. Right.
So he signs up for like every single fucking magazine, like 26 magazines. Yes. Ridiculous. Yeah. Who needs that many magazines, even in the 90s?
No, nobody needs that many magazines. So, and like, Amy and Alan are like really like honing in of like calling him a dummy in this episode, yeah, no which shame. Like they've never done before. Like, of course we see people calling him dumb in the future, but like we've never like landed on like our kid is a dummy until now.
Usually it's more like they try to guide him in the right direction by being like, you know, Eric, maybe you shouldn't be spending that much money on modeling photos and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But this was very explicitly like, oh my God, there's no hope. Eric is such a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And not for nothing, if a kid is told that they're dumb and useless from an early age, then they're going to grow up thinking they're dumb and useless. So if anyone wants to blame anybody for Eric turning into a fucking moron, then blame Amy and Alan, because they're the ones that told him that he was stupid. So Eric grew up thinking he was dumb. So I blame them.
That's fair.
They ruined him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's an idiot, but I don't blame them necessarily for thinking he's stupid for doing this, because it's like, this isn't right.
So cut back to the next day of school. Corey and Sean get their opportunity to have a radio show. They are interviewing a student council member, Sarah, about the cancellation of the 9th grade school dance due to running out of money. Corey wants the scoop, but the scoop is that there is no scoop. They're just going to have a bake sale to try to raise funds.
Yeah, it's very boring. I mean, credit to Corey for trying to stay on topic, but the topic is so fucking boring that nobody cares about it, that like Sean literally falls asleep while talking about it.
Yeah, he's embarrassed that he's like associated with this. This is like definitely ruining his cool vibes. Yeah,
and like Sean and Corey end up with like the first ever like hotline for like dating advice, because this guy Spencer calls in and he asks Sarah if she's still dating Joey. She's like, oh, we broke up last week. Then he asks her out. Everybody cheers. And now they have like a bunch of girls trying to come in and get dates with guys over the radio.
They
call it lunchtime lust.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really like the radio like show name, Lunchtime Lust. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good alliteration. Is that
what it's alliteration. Is? I think that, I definitely appreciated, like, them being able to adjust on the fly. I think, obviously, mm-hmm. they went a bit too, like, PG-13 rated for, like, Feeny's liking. But I feel like they could have found a happy medium of, like, okay, let's get through the bake sale situation. And then we can talk about more, like, pop culture-y things.
Yeah, but
they just went way too far off the deep end for Feeny to ever agree with.
Well, yeah, this girl, Jasmine Fontana, who is probably a senior, is, like, about to kiss this little 7th grader.
Yeah.
It's, like, a little scandy, if you ask me.
Yeah, it was a lot. And, of course, Feeny overhears everything. And then, of course, Feeny's face is right there when Corey opens his eyes.
Right, yeah. So then Ludwig has to take over his German hour, has to, you know, start early. And Corey and Sean lose their show.
What? Lunchtime with Ludwig.
And
the thing is we don't need we talked about this at the top of the podcast. He doesn't need to be wearing lederhosen for us to realize he's a foreign exchange student, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody out there is like German or Swedish and wants to let us know, do people actually wear lederhosen that often? Please let us know. I don't think it does happen very often. So again, I guess Ludwig's going to take over, and everyone is like cheering for Corey and Sean, and Feeny obviously fires them from their radio show.
It's a shame. But like the whole school's clapping for them. They're like really, really hyped about lunchtime lust. Mm-hmm. So they have to figure out how to get back on air. And the next day in school, we are having Feeny teach them about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So then they get on their high horse about the First Amendment and freedom of speech.
Nobody understands the First Amendment. It is like the biggest problem I have. Literally, people out in the world in general are always like, oh, I could say anything I fucking want because freedom of speech. It's like, that is not what that is, actually. And Sean is just like everybody else. He doesn't understand what freedom of speech means. And he's like, Feeny says one thing and does another. He's a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
That also cracks me up.
I know. I know. That was funny, too. I like how Sean was like, kept messing up names and words.
Yes.
Then we get Jasmine saying, like, when are you going to come on the show, or like, when are you going to do the show again?
Right.
So they have to figure it out. So then they go to Turner, ask for help. They want a second chance. Sean says he's totally ignoring the first commandment. And then
Sean, he's all mixed up.
Yeah. Turner's like, you have to promise me you'll stay away from the mic while I talk to Feeny.
Yeah, and they basically promise, but then they basically are like, but Feeny's never going to change his mind. It's a fruitless endeavor. Let's just get Alvin instead and basically, I don't know, blackmail him, bully him into hooking up the equipment.
I don't even think that Alvin needed much, though.
Alvin didn't give a shit.
No character.
He has no fucking
Alvin's like, okay.
That is so frustrating.
Yeah, they would have had to drag Minkus. Like, Minkus would have, like, dug his heels.
They would have tied him up. Didn't they tie him up in an episode?
I don't know. Well, they tied Ludwig up, which, honestly, that is a suspendable offense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You don't tie up other kids.
Fair. Yeah, they got lucky with only a month's detention after all is said and done.
Oh, poor Ludwig, absolutely. Is upset. That was them going soft.
Yeah.
So, back to the Eric storyline. Eric got all his magazines. He, like, came up with, like, a theory that if he buys, like, a magazine for every letter of the alphabet, then he can be a winner. So I C was for it was called Chester Magazine
for men named Chester,
and I don't know,
this storyline was just dumb. It honestly felt like a way to get Robin Leach on the show.
I agree with you. So whatever, I mean, at least we got Eric thinking strategically.
Yeah,
he is somewhat getting ready to go on Big Brother.
God, he would not survive a day.
Needs to get his strategy. So now we have Turner talking to Feeny and trying to ask for a second chance with his supervision. And then we have like this spicy moment of like maybe Feeny knew or got with Turner's aunt, Ruthie Turner.
Yes. I was like, Feeny. Right.
Interesting. Why interesting. Wish we knew more, but we don't.
I know. Why don't we get that spicy background story? So, yes. So now we find out Corey and Sean are sneaking back on the air. Like, very ridiculous. They're basically just playing loud music and telling everybody to dance. They tied up Ludwig in the, like, basically the radio room. They're hidden. To me, it's ridiculous. Like, they're going to get caught. And very quickly, even if Sean hadn't given away their location, it's only a matter of time before they check all of the rooms.
There's only so many rooms. I mean, I know the school is supposed to be huge, 400 students per grade, which means that there's roughly 1,200 kids in the school. But right. I mean, still, eventually they will be found. But, they're playing all over the intercoms, like music. This is a dance party.
And
like,
everybody just kids starts dancing, like, in the hallways.
Sure. Would never happen. No. Would never, ever, 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 ever happen. So then eventually they're caught by Feeny and they're in big trouble. Feeny brings the boys to Mr. Turner, where You know, Feeny Sleep basically like, this is your responsibility. You said that you would supervise them and take care of this. Like, right. So Turner is basically like, you know, bros, we had a deal. Like, this is like not cool.
Yeah. The First Amendment doesn't give them the right to turn the school into a rave.
Yeah. You have responsibilities to the school. You had responsibilities to me. It's just like not right. So Turner asked them why they did this, and like as they start to answer, he also turns on the switch so that it's playing through the intercom.
Nowadays, I don't think that this would be as accepted. I feel like if they were saying something in confidence to a teacher to like air it to the rest of the school is kind of scummy. Mm-hmm. He's lucky they didn't say anything like too deep, you know.
So they were saying like, you know, we're just trying to find our place. Like everyone seems to know like what they're doing and what they're interested in, right, and where they belong, but like we don't feel that way, and like we just like we feel like we're getting lost in the shuffle. And then Turner's like, I feel like everybody feels that way, and like no one. And Sean's like, well, no one talks about it. And then Turner's like, well, look at this. We're getting so many calls. Like, there's people that feel this way. Yeah. So the first call was Feeny, and he's giving praise at Turner's, you know, unusual teaching method for once.
Yeah.
For once, giving him some credit, and then asks about punishment. And
I liked this part. That
settles on... you know, like he says a week, and Feeny's like, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can't quite hear you.
Yeah. And then they settle on a month. Next up is Eric. And
lock him up and throw away the key.
So it didn't even sound like Eric.
No.
But whatever.
And then in comes Ludwig with his freaking ambassador dad or whatever, and he's going to like, beat them up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's like, Corey and Sean's storyline.
Yeah, it ends basically with like them, I guess they're gonna have a radio show after their month's detention if Feeny trusts them. I don't know.
I think this was like with so many like little things that they did this season of like rebelling again in school, yeah, and like doing all the shit. Like, I feel like they've had a detention every single day of school this year.
They shouldn't be allowed always to be on detention. The radio because they're always in detention.
I honestly think that this should have gotten them suspended because especially for tying up another kid.
And basically holding out a hostage.
Yeah, I think that this deserved probably at least a week or two of suspension and a serious talking about their behavior. Saturday detention.
Oh God.
How about that?
Breakfast Club. Here we come. Yeah. We need a Breakfast Club episode of this as well.
So the after
the end scene.
Yeah. I keep thinking, don't call it after credits. It's not after credits.
This is where you finally see Robin Leach arrive. But of course, he's there to give the check to the neighbor.
Yes. Yes. So what a bummer. He did come. Not for Eric.
Nope.
What a disappointment. We do have a little bit of a tie-in to Girl Meets World. God. But it's not really a tie-in.
Okay.
It's not really a tie-in. It's more of like an Easter egg. Okay. So in Girl Meets World, Girl meets Mr. Squirrels, which is the episode after Girl Meets Pluto, which is what we talked about with Cody last week.
Yep.
So it's the episode right after. So number one, in Girl Meets Pluto, we also had another scene from this episode from On the Air with the pointing. Remember the pointing?
Yes.
So that was in Girl Meets Pluto, the pointing. In this, at the very end, there's a little bit of an Easter egg because basically, like, at this point, Eric just got elected as mayor of this, like, town in upstate New York. And at the very end, during the credits scene or post-commercial scene or end scene, whatever it is. So, basically, the senator of New York had a big scandal, and they're looking for people that are such bad candidates that the scandalous senator could still win up against a bad candidate.
Okay.
So they're looking through photos, and they see a picture of Eric, and he looks ridiculous. And you're like, oh, I can win against this guy.
Right.
And the senator says, looky here, Chester, which is a, like, Easter egg about Chester magazine.
Wow, you'd really have to be a big fan to remember that. Good God.
I know. So thank you, IMDb, for helping me out. I think that if I was watching Girl Meets World, that's not something that I would have caught.
I don't think anybody would remember that. Yeah.
No. So, but I'm sure there's somebody out there. Like, somebody figured it out. So. Yeah. Huh. No. So that's it. There's no clips. The episode itself was pretty much the worst Girl Meets World episode that I've seen. It was terrible. Basically, what happened was Maya and Riley were in a fight. And the reason why they're in a fight was because Lucas, the quote unquote cute boy, called Maya short. And Riley didn't defend Maya when Maya always defends Riley.
Short isn't an insult.
Apparently to Maya it was.
That is stupid.
So they were in a fight the entire time, and they were like, and Corey is like, there's only one person that can help us mediate this war between friends. And I guess this is a callback between, like, remember there was like a huge fight with like Rachel and Jack and like Sean. Like, remember there was like this huge like kerfuffle.
Okay, so we went from kerfuffle to kerfunkel to kerfuffle.
Okay, this huge thing went in college, like people were fighting. I think that Eric was mediating it, so they brought in Eric to mediate this fight.
It was literally
the worst Girl Meets World episode that
ridiculous.
I've seen.
I cannot believe you watched this. Oh my God.
What am I gonna do?
I don't know. Not
gonna
watch do? It.
I gotta do it. I gotta report the
Find
news. You won't
no
do
one
it for
cares
Dawson's
about
Creek.
This news, though.
People care.
Who cares?
Somebody out there.
Somebody out there cares.
Somebody cares.
Anyway, I would say of these two episodes of 16 yeah. and 17, Danger Boy and On the Air, I preferred Danger yeah. Boy, but I still don't
I
even
too.
Think it is like near the top of my list as good episodes. No. I think they were both very meh, in my opinion. I just didn't have very strong thoughts about them.
Yeah, so we do have an email from Cody.
Oh, good.
Who, once again, Cody, like, thank you so much for coming on last week. We had such a good time. It was really a pleasure to have you on. So his question is in regards to episode 17, On the Air. What advice would you give Sean and Corey for being on the radio? Do they have a career in podcasting? Also, is the red three-quarter zip sweater so timeless that Corey wore it twice in 3 weeks?
I did notice that he was wearing it. That's so funny.
He was wearing it again. So first of all, yes, it's that timeless. It will always be timeless. So keep on wearing those three-quarter zip red sweaters. Keep on doing it.
I would say that Corey definitely has more of a future in podcasting than Sean does, because Sean, like, fell asleep. And I felt like Corey was always at least trying to, like, make something exciting happen and, like, move the topic along. So I thought that Corey did a good job.
Corey had some journalistic prowess in this episode, kind of like a Sarah Koenig a la Serial. He was trying to crack the case. Where's the Serial music?
Oh my God, what is Corey doing? Is he even is he even a radio host, or is there something nefarious going on?
yeah he's like, what happened to the bake sale? Is there an embezzlement? Are you able to tell me the cost profit margin of a cupcake?
Maybe it's just a cupcake.
Or maybe it's just a cupcake. Find out next time on Corey's
cereal.
Yeah, Corey's cereal.
We haven't done the cereal music in so long.
Oh gosh. Do they have a career in podcasting? I mean, to be honest with you, I got to tell you, any Joe Schmo off the street can have a career.
So can you.
If we can do it, so can you, for sure.
You can get a decent mic for $100 and mm-hmm. a computer.
Although that one review that I saw on a podcast long, long time ago that said you two people don't have a voice for podcasting still rings in my ear. Not us.
Oh, I was like, what?
No. I saw on a review on another podcast that they said you don't have a voice for podcasting.
I mean, I don't have like a sultry voice, so I don't know that I have a voice for podcasting either. But yeah. If you do it long enough, someone's bound to listen.
Sure. The advice that I would give to Corey and Sean for being on the radio, I think that Jess was heading towards the right direction. It's all about compromise. You're always going to have like the higher ups telling you like what you need to discuss. Mm-hmm. So follow the rules. And then if you are shown to be a loyal person that listens to direction, then you'll have some more creative input later
right.
on.
I think you talk about the bake sale and then you shift topics to something that like the students would enjoy. And I think that that's an easy compromise they could have made. But they just wanted to go all out with fucking lusty lunchtime or whatever. Lunchtime lust.
Lunchtime lust. So thank you, Cody, for everything. Mm-hmm. Truly. Fashion Hour. Our first award is the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. First up, I have the reporter reporting on the last ride roller coaster at Adventure Park. This is such like a late 80s/90s business suit. So it's like this like monochromatic business suit with a skirt, but it's like a peplum top with like a higher collared neck, and even the buttons are monochromatic. Mm-hmm. This woman reporter has like this little bob of a haircut with bangs and some gold earrings. Did this outfit stand out to you?
I mean, it definitely did. Beyond the fact that it's like a very bright color, obviously the shoulder pads make it stand out as well. I don't know. Of course. I much prefer a Gale pants skirt suit that we've seen in Dawson's Creek to this one. Yes. It's nothing to do with like anybody's body type or the shape or anything. It's just specifically I don't really like a peplum top. I think that they just look odd on everybody. Like I've never seen peplum, someone pull it off in a way that I'm like, oh, that looks great.
Yeah, peplum came back in style in around like 2009, 2010. Yeah. And it was here for a little bit, but it went away.
I'm happy it's gone again, honestly, because I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. Next up, we have Lori, or Mina Suvari, the cousin of Eric State Kim from episode 16 as well. And she is wearing like such quite a getup. Quite a getup.
I was like, what the fuck? Did she get dressed in the dark?
And this is supposed to be like cool New York fashion. Mm. So she's wearing a bodysuit, a pink polka dotted bodysuit with a green crop top that is 3/4 length. So the bodysuit is long sleeve. The green shirt is 3/4, so you can see multiple layers. She is wearing some jeans that I think have like paint on them that like, you know how like it used to be in fashion that like you would have like art on your jeans? Yes,
I do see like definitely like pink on the pockets at least.
Yeah. And like there's like some sort of like side stripe. She's wearing some sort of a belt. There might be a brooch situation, or she has a ketchup stain on her shirt. I'm honestly not sure.
Who is to know? Because it does look awfully like ketchup.
And then, yeah, like she has like her hair parted in the middle, but it's like floofy 90s hair, so it's like she has like a double flip.
Yeah, it's very like Jen season one Dawson's Creek looking to me, like kind of like floofs out at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. This outfit is so ugly. Like, it is. I feel like I would have liked it if she just didn't have the green top. Like, to me, that, like, really just, like, what? It's almost like she couldn't decide what to wear, so she wore both. It's like, it's that gif. Why not both? Like, that's what she decided. She woke up and she chose chaos with this outfit. And, like, yeah. I love polka dots. Don't get me wrong. But this lime green color, I have a hard time thinking of somebody that this would flatter. It's just really ugly. Because it's not quite neon, but it's not quite pastel. And it's like, pick a lane. I don't know. I don't like it.
It is quite a sight. Quite a sight. Mm-hmm. Lastly, we have Sean in episode 17 on the air, and this is one of his radio looks. So he is wearing a graphic tee, a graphic white tee, underneath a some sort of tribal jacket slash button down shirt. It has like those like he loves like an Aztec tribal pattern.
Yeah.
His hair is like perfectly mushroomy and it's getting long again. Black pants, black shoes. Totally more of like the grungy Sean that we are seeing more and more.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind this outfit. I'm not a huge fan of the like tribal shirts he tends to wear, but I do think it is pretty 90s. The band like grungy t-shirt confuses me because it almost looks like a crucifixion. Which is like concerning.
Goodness gracious.
I don't know what shirt it is, but I do love the like black jean with like a black boot look that he rocks a lot of the time.
Right.
For me, I don't feel like very strongly about any of these. And for that reason, I'm going to give it to Sean just because I feel like I do think that while I think that the reporter lady's outfit is very 90s, I prefer the way Sean's looks. And I also think it's 90s. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations, Sean.
Yep. Next up, we have the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. So we have Mr. Feeny in his green vest that he was so like, you just look at me about my green vest, my green vest, my green vest. So he is wearing his green vest, but he's also wearing a very nice suit, a gray suit that he looks very dapper in. This green vest, a nice brown tie. He's rocking the principal chic, the grandpa chic. I think that he looks like very tidy.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like Feeny's typical look. I don't mind a green sweater vest. I feel like he'd be hot under all those layers, though. Like he has a
it's
suit
winter.
Jacket. I know, but in a school, they have to have the heat up. Like they have not enough money to heat the school.
Definitely not.
I don't know. He looks nice, though. It's a nice outfit for Feeny.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually think that the green that he chose, that's like a very pretty, like evergreen green.
Yeah, it's a nice goes green. Well, it's like a muted green.
Yeah, it goes well with his complexion, mm-hmm. I feel. Next up, we have a suspicious outfit because Corey is wearing an Eagles jersey. But why would he wear an Eagles jersey if he's from Philadelphia, Jess?
That was an excellent callback to anybody who listened to the podcast that we had Chappelle on. Ridiculous.
So, okay. So, yes, we have learned that Eagles
I knew.
Football
you didn't know.
Took place in Philadelphia. So he's wearing an Eagles jersey, number 12, whoever that is. I mean, if I was a good podcaster, maybe I would look up who was number 12 in 1995.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about football. It's fine. It's a jersey. It's big. It's baggy, as all jerseys are. It looks okay. It's timeless, I would say, because it's a jersey. People still wear them. It is not the expensive kind, I will say. It is not the kind that is embroidered on.
What do you mean? How can you tell?
So jerseys, there are two different types of jerseys. You can get cheap ones that are just like screen printed on, or there are ones that are like hand, like the numbers are stitched. So if you wash the one he's wearing enough times, the numbers will fade, whereas the other ones are embroidered.
So number 12 is Randall Cunningham, who was a quarterback in 1995 for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
So
fascinating
stunning.
Information. I hope you all appreciate that Sarah looked that up for you.
Yeah, yeah. So last up, we have a Mr. Turner look. Mr. Turner is wearing a blue, a dark blue, or like not navy, but a dark blue pinstripe button-down shirt. He's wearing a red tie. Actually, it was not pinstripe. It's some sort of like
paisley type of hexagonal thing.
Well, that's his tie. His shirt's not pinstripe. Oh, it's there's some sort of box detailing. I apologize. But a medium wash jean, a very nice jean. I did get a peek of his backside and as always looks up to standard. And a belt. So and please ignore his hair. There's nothing I can do about it.
No, it's you can't. Like, we've discussed this before. Like, Amy has the same issue. It looks super 90s no matter what, even if she tells me she got a freaking weave. Yeah. I'm going to give this one to Feeny. I agree with you. I think the sweater vest actually is a really nice touch to this ensemble. And I don't really care about sports. So I'd rather reward Feeny's dapper look than Corey's football jersey.
Yay. Oh, my God. You finally gave one to Feeny. I've been trying for so long
to shove Feeny in there. Well, Feeny gets it. Congratulations, Feeny.
Yay.
You won the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timeless list this week.
Yay. Okay. Congratulations, Feeny.
He did it.
I mean, I thought that these were fine episodes. Like, I'm going to have to, you know, really start thinking about my rankings for the end of the season. Because, we're getting close. And, like again, I feel as though that there were more standouts in season one as, like, this is a good episode, you know?
I agree. I think, to me, it might be more obvious when I go back and look as to, like, which ones I remember. Like, the most memorable to me are the ones with, like, Desiree and TK because they're very memorable characters. Yep. That doesn't necessarily mean they're the best episodes, though. So, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're going to have to think about
it. We only have, four more podcasts until our season two recap.
Okay, so like we'll explain that because for the next two episodes, we're still doing our two episode format.
Right.
And then we're going to stop down and do single episodes for episodes 23 and 24 of season two.
No, 22 and 23.
22 and 23 right. of season two, because they're heavier topics. They're more related to Sean and his family life. Yeah. And we want to stop down, take care of it properly. I also like the fact, like, last episode of the season, let's stop down.
Exactly. And then we'll have, yes, exactly. And then we'll our season wrap up like we usually do. So all exciting stuff to look forward to for sure. Most especially because next week we have a guest coming on. Very exciting. We might have talked about it when she was on Community Building, but Asia's coming on to talk Boy Meets World with us, and I'm really, really excited for it. We love having guests on.
Yay!
So that'll be 18 and 19 next week, episodes 18 and 19.
Yeah, so tune into that. If you have not listened to our Boy Meets World astrology podcast with the guys Chance and Cameron from Boy Meets World Fever, please look into that. We did... We discussed astrology at like a basic 101 level and then sorted the Boy Meets World characters into astrological signs. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. Definitely check that out. And then we have some really exciting bonus content coming for June. No, May.
No, you're doing it. I was saying April and it was April already. And now you're saying June, trying to skip a month.
Yes. So for May, it's the theme. We have a theme. The theme is Baseball May, which is not a good hashtag.
No, but it is like the start of baseball season. Like, baseball has already, I think, started. But like we're now in the thick of baseball season. So it makes sense. And everybody knows we're huge sports fans. So naturally, we would need to talk sports.
Huge sports fans.
We have two exciting podcasts scheduled for Baseball May, as well as another bonus podcast that doesn't have anything to do with baseball, but we're going to slot it into next month anyway.
Throw it in there, too.
Throw it in to spice things up. Yeah. But first up on the docket is Sarah. What is it?
Oh, we're going to do the big reveal?
Well, yeah, because we're recording it soon.
Oh, goodness. So, we are doing a league of their own with Grace Leader.
Very exciting. Of the
Hold Up podcast.
Yes, you may know her if you listen to RHAP or post-show recaps. She's obviously around those parts as well. We love Grace. I'm so excited to have Grace on to talk about this movie. And obviously, Sarah's excited because mm-hmm. it's Tom Hanks.
My boyfriend Tom Hanks. I get to see him again. It's been a little bit, but I'm excited to see my boyfriend again.
Yes, and we have another baseball podcast coming up. We'll leave that one a little mystery for now. You guys all will recognize the guest when we bring that person on, and you definitely should know the movie we're going to be talking about. So all of that is coming up for the month of May here on Shit 90 mm-hmm. Shows Taught Me. Get excited. Yep. Get pumped. We're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow along with us at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can always email us and send us in feedback at shit90spod@gmail.com.
Also, we have one other thing to plug now that I think about it.
We do. So we are going to be on our HAP. We're going to go on their Reality Rewind, mm-hmm. and that is with Rob Cesternino, of course, of Rob Has a Podcast, and Chappelle, our friend who's been on here, our two-time guest, yes. our first and only two-time guest, and we are going to be covering Blind Date, which is a 90s reality show that
so
is
so trashy, so amazing.
So trashy, so messy. So that is probably going to come out.
I believe it's Friday.
On Friday. So Friday the 30th.
Yes. Wow. So get pumped. We have a lot of stuff coming up. So everybody get excited.
Busy.
Follow us at Shit 90s Pod to keep up to date on all our scheduling stuff, because we'll have question threads we're posting and obviously clips mm-hmm. and all that type of stuff to get excited mm-hmm. about. So
yep.
Super
yep.
awesome.
Yuppers.
All right.
Tune in at Community Building. Check her out,
too. Oh, yes. Community Building at Post Show Recaps. We are still trucking along there. And obviously Dawson's Creek as well. You know what we're doing, guys. You already know. You've been here. You're not new. If you are new, hi, welcome. Nice to see you. Hear you. Whatever. Talk to you. All of those Smurfs.
Yep.
I think that's all we have today.
Have a good day. Make sure
you get your vaccine. Make sure you stay warm. Make sure
you brush your teeth.
Go to bed at a reasonable hour. Go.
Eat a nice salad. Get your blood tested once a year. What? Make sure that all your levels are good.
Take your vitamins. Don't you forget to take your vitamins.
Oh, God, jeez.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.